Hello, 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 and welcome to Bus Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we're going to be covering the second part of the Cornetto trilogy, Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz. This is fun. Come on. It is. Where's your energy?
It zapped out of me.
I know you're very, very busy, but I think that this is a fun thing to be covering at this point in time. We have our usual disclaimers, whatever, that include that there will be cursing. This is a movie that has cursing, so there's going to be cursing. We are going to have spoilers. If you've not seen this series of movies, they're really very, very funny, and I just really think that you'd enjoy them, so please.
And they span a lot of different genres, so they're not just one-note comedy movies.
They aren't. They've got a lot of stuff going on. They're making fun of a whole lot of things, and if you have any kind of sense of humor, you should find something that you enjoy in here. And we are having things to drink, or a thing to drink. And I thought it was a brilliant idea to make fuzzy navels for Hot Fuzz. Funny. For those of you who have never had a fuzzy navel, it is about a shot and a half of peach schnapps and orange juice. And it's actually pretty tasty.
Are you okay?
Someone went down the wrong way.
Okay.
I'm fine.
You sounded like you were dying.
You'd know.
Okay. What?
I'd love to know.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I thought you were like, from past experience, you would know what it sounds like when I'm dying. It's like, I don't like that idea. Thank you.
No. But it is, a nice fluffy girly drink. I think you even mentioned that it comes up in Shrek 3,
Shrek
is that right?
Third. The only thing I had really heard about fuzzy navels was when Prince Charming and Shrek the Third buys a round of fuzzy navels for everybody at the bar, the poisoned apple. I don't know why I remember so much from Shrek the Third, but for whatever reason, that stood out. And they look our drinks look different to theirs. Theirs were more pink. But
they're an animated movie.
Okay, whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's that's what I knew it from, but they're good. I like them.
I mean, I like them too.
I like peach schnapps. I like orange juice. What's not to like?
What's not to like? And you don't feel like completely wasted afterwards, which is a good thing. All right. So we are doing these as pros and cons. I don't have a lot of cons for this movie, but maybe you do.
No, I don't.
So we are probably just going to have a really lengthy list of pros. You want to go first?
Yeah, we do a pro con list for this, just like we did our Jane Austen-a-thon. Listen to our Jane Austen-a-thon episodes. They're great.
yes, they are.
I often listen to those. Those are so fun.
Jane Austen adaptations are hilarious in their own right. So
they're just so vastly different.
Yeah, and definitely worth a listen. This is a completely different thing, though.
Completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't be more different. So the cast. We're going to go through a laundry list of people, so be ready. Nick Frost and Simon Pegg are true for all of these. They're the main characters. Martin Freeman shows up for, a split second. Bill Nye shows up for a split second.
Steve Coogan's in there in that early phase. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really pretty funny.
Mr. Gardner from Pride and Prejudice is in there.
Oh,
I know I mentioned in the Pride and Prejudice Jane Austen-a-thon episode that I couldn't stop looking at him being like, the grades are good. James Bond / Timothy Dalton.
Yeah.
Cate Blanchett.
Yeah.
And it's mostly just her eyes because she's wearing a forensic suit.
But she's got the voice.
We knew it was Cate Blanchett. But
you know by her eyes, but it's the voice, my God.
Olivia Colman.
Yeah, Olivia Colman's in it.
Lucy Punch, who is often the evil stepsister.
Yes.
She's in it as well.
Yeah, she's evil stepsister in Ella Enchanted and she has that horrible
and in Into the Woods. She can't escape it, I don't think.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Jim Broadbent. I love Jim Broadbent.
The man can do anything.
He's so good.
Seriously, he's very funny.
Underrated actor. David Bradley.
David Bradley.
David Filch.
Oh, oh, Argus Filch. Yeah, I just always think of him as Filch.
Yeah, I should have.
It's kind of like Rory McCann. It's like, oh, yeah, you can call up Rory McCann all you want to. He's the Hound.
Yeah, speaking of the Hound, I didn't know that. I just wrote the Hound.
I see him and I see the Hound, and then like I just have to look him up because I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I feel bad. Stephen Merchant shows up for like one line.
Yep, Stephen Merchant's in it.
Patty Cosendine.
He's in everything. He's in
House of the Dragon.
House of the Dragon.
He's in we're going to talk Peaky about him Blinders. In World's End. He's in Peaky Blinders. He's in a lot of stuff.
He's everywhere.
Okay, so that's first and foremost. This is an incredible cast. I love it so much.
It's hard to go wrong. Mm-hmm. But then the writing is great and the direction is great. It's
everything so comes together so it well. It does. Everything's coming together. Yeah. I love it when a plan comes together.
Me too.
Great action. Like, there's so many incredible action scenes. And they're, like, varied. It's not just stab, stab, or shoot, shoot, or, sorry, bang, bang. Or, but there's, like, a sword bang, fight bang at one this, point. There's, like, hand-to-hand. There's just a lot of different kinds of action. Shooting
all different kinds of guns. It's very
And funny. The gore. But if you don't like gore, this isn't for you. But, like, it's less than Shaun of the Dead, it is for definitely sure.
Less than Shaun of the Dead.
But, yeah, there is some gore.
There's some. Well, it's a little more, so, like,
it's more cartoonish.
Early on, it's more tongue-in-cheek, and you know it. So, yes. You know, part of it is that if you've seen Shaun of the Dead, you know it is a comedy. Because this Shaun of the Dead starts out serious and then it's like, oh my gosh, this is a comedy. This movie, very early on, you know,
it's a comedy throughout, but it can get serious. The change in dynamic with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, it's what's
between this and Shaun of the Dead.
Yes. I mentioned in the last episode about how in Shaun of the Dead, they're both kind of comic relief to each other. And if we had to choose a straight man, it would be Simon Pegg's character because he does take things a bit more seriously. But in this one, it's very, very clear who's the straight man and who's the comic relief. And Simon Pegg's playing the straightest man, the straightest straight-laced man.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about that in some of my prose, yeah.
Yeah, and of course, Nick Frost is playing the comic relief, but he's not... It's a different kind of comic relief. It's more like childlike naivete wonderment and less I'm a fuck up.
Exactly.
Yes. He hasn't been given the chance to fuck up. Right. He's
been a good boy.
He's been a good boy, but he's also made some mistakes, but he's just gotten a slap on the wrist and not much more.
He's a Nepo baby.
He is a Nepo baby to the nth degree. Yes. I also like how it's visually shown because I noticed in this rewatch that whenever, especially early on, whenever they're just like out and about, just doing their like officer thing. Oh, I should probably talk about.
Yeah, let's talk about generally what this movie is. So, can I do it?
Yeah.
So the conceit of Hot Fuzz is that it is ultimately going to be a buddy cop movie. It starts out with, as all of these buddy cop movies do, like someone has been kicked to the curb by the agency and is put out to pasture in a way. And so that's Simon Pegg's character. The way they put it, and they actually have Bill Nye's character say this, like, yeah, you're too good for us, and you're making us look bad.
He's so being punished for being too good at his job.
Right. Oh, your arrest rate is 400% that of everyone else. You make us look bad. You need to go to the country. Which I will say this, having worked with a lot of cops over the years, this actually happens. They get promoted and put like on the street where like they aren't going to make people look bad anymore, but they aren't being used to the best of their ability either, which is wrong.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. So that's what's happening to Simon Pegg's character is, you know, he had an injury and they're like, hey, let's put you out to pasture. And he's like, I don't want to be put out to pasture. I'm fine. And they're like, nope, sorry. And so they send him to a rural village, like the village of the year. It's won it over and over again. And English villages, there is an undercurrent of English village murder mystery.
Which you know I love.
We all love it. But he is cop assigned to this police agency in this village called Santon?
Sanford.
Sanford. I've got Sanditon on the brain. I apologize. Sanford.
There's also that girl who's in who plays the florist, who is in both Sanditon and upstairs, downstairs.
If you've been listening to Upstairs, Downstairs.
Oh my God, God help you. She's the cook.
But she's also in Sanditon.
Miss Thackeray.
Yeah, not.
Not the name of the actress.
Upstairs, Downstairs, Downstairs.
She's racist in Sanditon.
She's got a lot of issues in Sanditon, honestly.
Racism's chief among them.
Well, it's a big one. There are a lot of issues with her. Like, she's got, like, incest kids.
No, those aren't her kids. Those are her nieces and nephews.
They're her heirs.
She can't help the way that they were raised.
Yeah, but she's... anyway. Long story... I would love to cover Sanditon sometime when we're like don't have an Austin thing to do. Maybe we'll get around to it, but we aren't. It's a long ways off.
Yeah, so, we don't have time right now.
It's a long ways off. But in the meantime, they're in this village, and it's supposed to be the nicest village. There's been no crime stats really. There hasn't been a murder in 20 years. All of these things, and this sergeant, played by Simon Pegg, is Nicholas Angel, and he comes in. He's like seeing crime everywhere, and they're
like petty crimes, but they're like misdemeanors, like drinking underage and
shoplifting, speeding.
Yeah, it's just some basic ones, not anything too severe, really.
Early on, at least,
he's noticing that, and they're just being slapped on the wrist, and that's it. And like, the charges are usually dropped or
for the greater good.
For the greater good,
and right, and part of it, you start to realize it's like we are, tweaking the stats. This is something that commonly happens with police departments. Like they will call like a real crime, something like they will call an aggravated assault, pointing a pistol at another, just so that it isn't a part one crime on their FBI stats for a year. This is what's happening in this village, so that they can get village of the year kind of thing. That's part of what's happening.
But everyone's in denial about it.
Right. They all believe that we've got the safest village in the whole country. It's the best thing ever. So he gets assigned there. His partner, the person he gets assigned to, is Nick Frost's character, Danny.
Nepo baby,
who's deaf. His daddy is the chief. And
played by Jim Broughton.
And there are a bunch of other cops, the Olivia Colman and Patty Constantine. They're a whole bunch of
wonderful,
very funny, funny characters.
We barely get any time with them, but every time they're on screen, I'm laughing.
They're just hilariously keystone cops, kind of just stupid. Incompetent, stupid.
they just can't do their jobs, and they don't want to.
Well, it's like one of the characters is like so stealing.
No, I have it later.
See, Mrs.
Anyway. So what do we learn from this? That stealing biscuits is wrong? What? Exactly.
That's the way the cookie crumbles.
To set the scene, the different cops in the office are the two Andes, who
Patty Constantine both, and the other guy, and the other guy's been in a bunch of stuff.
He's also great. But they're basically dumb and dumber, mm-hmm. and they just don't want to do their job. They want to chain smoke and go to the pub.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the incompetent one, who I forgot the name of, who does the stealing biscuits is wrong. Like, he's in a position of power and he has absolutely no idea what the fuck he's doing or anything about the legal system. Then you got Olivia Colman's character, Doris, who's one of the guys, but she's a really chill girl.
She's really chill, but like there's a bunch of sexist stuff that's going on. That's very.
But
weird.
She like lets it roll off her back, even though she probably should be on something. Yeah, to a certain degree, because that's her place in the office.
Right,
and she's the cool one who lets things slide.
You've got an older guy who you can't understand what he's saying. He's the canine officer. It's very funny.
So funny,
but he can communicate with Argus Filch, and that's important.
Everybody but Nicholas can understand him.
Mm.
He learns to understand him.
He's got a very local dialect, shall we say.
Anyway, Nicholas starts noticing how things are being let slip and let slide, and he starts becoming suspicious about why this is happening when everything else seems so strict and streamlined and all that stuff about the village.
There is also a neighborhood watch association that has a lot of power. They've got like video everywhere. They have eyes everywhere. They have walkie-talkies. They have
Constant
all of this
surveillance.
stuff going on. And there are members of that, like the guy who played Belloc in the original Raiders of the Lost Ark is the priest.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's
Yes,
funny.
it's
I
hilarious.
didn't notice that.
I noticed that the first time we watched it, I freaked out. Because I'm like, wait, is he going to be offering up people, or are they going to be like, never mind. So funny. But yeah, there are a lot of cool cameos in this. But they have this neighborhood watch, and they're very strict about like, oh, we don't want, kids sitting on the fountain or kids in hoods
Hoodlums,
or
like
whatnot.
what?
Yeah,
Yeah,
but then you're okay with shoplifters acting kind of
they're
weird.
okay to let certain things slide, except for like the most simple of things.
They are, but they aren't.
Well, we'll get there. But so we go through, and there are several murders that are made to look like accidents, but Nicholas is like, no, it's not a fucking accident. People are acting suspicious, especially Timothy Dalton. And
Timothy Dalton owns the local supermarket,
yeah, we don't need
and
to go into it
but
all
it's
the
super
way.
funny.
But to streamline it, he figures out that there's this whole conspiracy, and then they're like, oh no,
Nicholas
it's
does.
way pettier than that. And there, that is true. All of what you said is true, but the reason they're dead is something so much more petty, and we'll get into that later. And then he tries to escape, and he escapes with the help of Danny, and he returns to for justice, and he with the
Riding a
help of
white
Danny.
horse and a bunch of guns.
With the help of Danny, he's able to take down the conspiracy. And the London people are like, please come back. And he's like, no. And then he stays in Stanford and he lives out his life there.
Or so it would seem. Anyway,
Well, no, that's
as
just how
far as
it
I know,
ends.
yes, that is how it ends. But
There are other
there
things
is
in there.
hilarity ensues,
Well,
shall we
yeah,
say.
we'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, so back to best part, pros, whatever. Did I ever? I did never mention the distinction between Danny and Nicholas in appearance. The costumers made, I think, made the conscious decision that, especially early on in the film, whenever they're out on patrol, Danny isn't wearing a safety vest while Nicholas always is, because he's expecting danger behind every corner, while Danny is more devil may care, and. So I liked that, but then later on we see Danny is starting to wear safety vests and all that stuff and being a lot more observant. I love at the very beginning when we get a voiceover by Martin Freeman about Nicholas Angel just showing how much of an overachiever he is, and Simon Pegg looks directly in the camera twice with a very intense look on his face. It is extremely funny. I laugh every time. The funny bureaucracy bullshit, like he's trying to like go up in the ranks to see if like the person above the other person who's trying to like relocate him is going to say something different, and they're all like, nope, we're on the same page. Everyone doesn't like you. There's the scene, basically Cate Blanchett plays his ex-girlfriend. They're on the rocks. He said that they needed to take a break because he's obsessed with his job and not with Cate Blanchett. Like,
Can
come
you
on,
imagine, really?
come on.
And she's seeing
And
someone else who's a forensics officer.
the best part is in this entire scene, they're all in forensic suits except for Simon Pegg, but they're talking and he's just like, oh, are you seeing Bob? No, does Bob look like a guy I go out with? He looks the exact same as everybody
They
else.
all have these
And
like
then
friendly
she's like, it's Dave. And then he's like, hello there.
suits.
Hilarious.
Yeah, he waves his little fingerprinting brush. It's hilarious.
So funny. Then I also really like when he first comes to Stanford, the eerie atmosphere that is created just within the first interaction with the bellhop of if she's solving a crossword puzzle and she's like, fascist. And
Yeah,
it's
no,
like, what the
she's not
fuck?
the bellhop. She's like the
Owner.
innkeeper.
She's the owner, but
Yeah.
she that's the first word that came to mind. Owner with the crossword, weird mindless behavior by a lot of people who kind of look like they're in a cult. The radios, like the Neighborhood Watch Alliance, always communicate via radio, and so that's important. And a double speak, a lot of double speak, especially with Timothy Dalton's character. A major small town vibe. Everyone knows everyone, and everyone knows everyone's business. All of the, as I mentioned, all the coworkers are hilarious. The living statue is very, very funny. He makes me laugh every time. He's literally just the living statue. It's what you'd expect, something you'd see like a novelty in New York or something.
And
It's
the villagers are offended that he exists.
so funny. He's not doing anyone any harm. I'd like to say I way prefer the character of Danny to the character of Ed in the last movie.
Well, but he's a lot more sympathetic, I
He's
think.
way more sympathetic, but also I love his curiosity in like Nick's job in London because it seems so much more interesting than his job in Sanford. And so he's asking all these questions. I'm like, I can't say I wouldn't do that. I would probably streamline them a little bit more and maybe not be as insistent, but
Did you ever shoot a gun? Did you ever shoot a gun while you were in a high speed chase? Did you ever, yeah, I mean,
did you ever fire two guns while jumping through the air? It's like
it's like
hilarious. But it's
he,
like that childlike naivete kind of thing
all he
that
knows about
works.
policing is from watching movies, is what I can
Exactly,
attest to.
because he's never really had to deal with a real crime, to his
That he knows
knowledge.
about, right?
Yeah. Stephen Merchant, so like he randomly shows up and he literally, it's supposed to be this little gag, like okay. Nick thinks that Nicholas Angel thinks that he is being punked. He gets this phone call from Peter Ian Staker, piss taker, and about a swan being loose from the castle. And then he's like, "Oh yeah, your name's piss taker. Like, come on." And then he actually it's actually Stephen Merchant's character, and he's like getting a description of the swan. And then he's like, "Anything else?" And he's like, "It's a swan."
Oh,
Like.
is it a long neck, orange and
I
black
would also
girl?
like to say, just in general, the names of these people are hilarious. Like, whatever, Martin Blower, Cocker, Piss Taker, Aaron
Miracle.
A. Aaronson, like hilarious. The Hound shows up. He is a mentally ill
Not ill.
trolley
He's
boy.
slow.
Okay.
He's not mentally ill.
Not mentally ill. He is disabled. Well,
Challenged.
okay.
Challenged is the
I
word.
whatever the correct term is. He, poor guy. I feel so bad for him.
He's
This
low
entire movie.
IQ is what we're talking
Oh,
about.
don't say that. Well, no,
He is not quite Hodor, but his only word is Yarp.
is
That's the
very
word for
Hodor.
me.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I love that he's in this movie. It's a really well-paced mystery. I personally, and this is personal preference, but I really like it when there are multiple deaths. It gives you even more of a chance to narrow things down and to figure out who done it. I also like a
Natalie
little,
likes multiple deaths. That's what she's trying to
no,
tell you.
in a whodunit mystery, yes, in a fictional mystery,
Especially
yes.
in an English village, that's the
Well, okay,
best.
sure.
I'm
Put those
sorry.
words in my mouth. Sure, let's do that.
They've come out of your mouth before.
Not in so many words. Anyway, they have like a high speed chase, like chasing a shoplifter, and they go over fences.
Just like they did in Shaun of the
Well, kind of a little bit more successfully for one and a lot less successfully than for the other. Literally, Nicholas does a flip over them, and Danny just completely falls through one.
Dead.
They also run into these people who are speeding on the high on in like a 30 mile per hour zone, and they are going to be in their amateur theater production of Romeo and Juliet, which is kind of trying to be Romeo plus Juliet by Baz Luhrmann.
It's so
It's
bad.
painfully bad,
Look,
and it's supposed to
Romeo
be.
plus Juliet is, I have never sat through it. I cannot get through it.
That so you don't know if it's good or bad. I think
I
it's fine. I
horrible.
just it's not for me. I think Baz Luhrmann is a very talented director.
I
He
do
it's
too.
just not for me. His pace and his version, it's a little much for me. It's a little overstimulating for me. But
Okay.
regardless, we're not here to talk about Romeo plus Juliet. But
This is
I
so
don't think it's a
funny.
I don't think it's bad though. Either way, this
Yeah,
version of Romeo and Juliet is awful and it's
it's
meant to be.
terrible. It's hilarious.
And so The horrified look on Simon Pegg's face is hysterical.
Right, because the only thing you really get to see of it is the end. And the end is
Bang!
it's so funny. And then they start singing Love Me, Say That You Love Me.
Loveful.
Oh my God,
Hilarious.
it's so funny.
There's a lot of great setup and payoff. There are some guns confiscated that come back. There's a bomb that comes back. There's a Point Break moment that comes back, and ketchup packets come back. I'm not going to say anything really specific about that, but they do. There's a very interesting backstory for Nicholas, who like looked up to his uncle, who was a police officer. However, his uncle was selling drugs to children, and he probably bought the paddle car that that
Pedal
Nicholas
car.
pedal car, sorry, that he got for Nicholas that he treasured with the proceeds. And so he developed a very strong sense of right and wrong and morals from a young age. And
Right,
he mentions
because he wanted to
earlier,
be better, basically.
yes, and he mentions earlier in the conversation, well, I don't remember a time where I didn't want to be a police officer, except for that one summer in eighth grade, in like second grade, where I want to be Kermit the Frog. And then he tells this whole story, and then Danny goes, "That's a shame. You would have made a great
Yeah,
Muppet."
exactly. It's so funny.
Hilarious.
So funny.
Then we also get a little bit of insight into Danny's character. His mother died, and so his father's really been protective of him for the past
Yeah,
however
we
many
did.
years.
I feel like that actually was a weak spot, but we'll get to
We'll
it.
talk to him about it later. In the end, one of the morals of the story is to have a good work-life balance and trust your instincts. I agree with both of those. There's a huge conspiracy revealed that like he pieces together. I'm not going to go through all of it, but it's very logical the way that Nicholas pieces everything together, and he thinks he has a solution, and then the rug is pulled right from out from under him when his hunch isn't correct technically. Then he gets the idea of, oh, it could be multiple people.
It's such an Agatha Christie move.
Very Agatha
It
Christie.
just
If
really
you know,
is.
you know. I'm not going to spoil which story that's about, but if you know, you know. And there's this huge conspiracy, and it turns out to be, I'll go ahead and spoil it. It turns out to be the Neighborhood Watch Alliance, no shit. And he comes in, and he, after a near-death experience, goes to the meeting where it's being ha where they're meeting and talking about like
In
their
hoods, like the
plans.
KKK.
Hilarious. Well,
Yay.
okay, not that the KKK is hilarious, but them
No,
being in
they're
the hoods
not.
are hilarious. He talks about this whole conspiracy, and they're like, oh no, we're really, really petty. We killed that guy because he's a bad actor. We killed that girl because she has an annoying laugh. This guy had a very ugly, non-aesthetic house. That guy was a bad journalist and spelled everyone's name wrong. That other lady, she wanted to move. It's like, what? You're
Yeah.
kidding. Crime and Punishment, my ass. What I really like about this movie is that it really challenges the idea of how harshly we should punish people. And it's kind of like what Les Mis does. It's like, I stole a loaf of bread, and I was in prison for how long? Jesus. But I'm not saying we shouldn't punish crimes and stuff like that. I'm just saying that this calls into question how severely, because there are two very different extremes. Because Nicholas goes into Stanford with a very hard sense of right and wrong, and wanting to punish people who have done wrong and
No,
all
he
of that
wants
stuff.
accountability. I don't agree
Well,
with that, but go ahead.
he wants to punish people who have done wrong, and the other people are letting it slide, and he doesn't like that. And then he sees the other end of the spectrum, where it's like, oh, well, you stole a bo box of biscuits from the store. We're gonna kill you. It's like, oh, whoa, okay,
Yeah,
that's
they're
a,
acting like they're not being horrible,
yeah,
but they
that's
were
a
being
bit
worse.
much.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh yeah, you guys were drinking underage in a pub where we let you drink underage. How dare you? We're gonna kill you. It's like, what? You're kidding. So I think that the movie is kind of trying to be like, all right, there is a balance here. Like, you should be punished for doing awful shit like stealings and stuff like that, but you shouldn't die for it, you
Right. Like his point with the shoplifter is like, look, you need to have some accountability so they won't do it again, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And I'm whatever. We can talk about all of that later. Go ahead.
I just have the greater good, and they repeat it every time it's said. It's so funny. The chief uses his wife's death. Essentially, what happened to his wife is that his wife was very into the idea of the best village competition. She works tirelessly, and then some people moved to town and they ruined it for her. Then literally moved in the night before and ruined it. And she got very, very upset over it for some reason, and she drove herself into a ditch
And done.
and died. Okay, the fuck? But also, so essentially Jim Broadbent's character, the chief, is like, okay, well, now that she, well, since she took
To
it that
honor her
far,
death.
I'm going to honor her memory and make sure that any person who does any little thing, steps one toe out of line, I'm going to kill them so that we can have the best village award.
Right, but we're gonna hide it so that nobody knows.
In a crypt in a church where I guess nobody goes. Like, okay. I mean, it's funny. Anyway, so there, Danny fakes Nicholas's death by stabbing a ketchup packet in his pocket that he planted there, and he drives him out into the middle of the street and is like, okay, you're good. And Nicholas is trying to reason with Danny, like, you realize these people have been killing people. And he's like, no, they're just getting a slap on the wrist and heading on their way. And he's like, no, I've seen dead bodies. And he's just like, what? And Nicholas says he's appointed himself judge, jury, and executioner. And then Danny says, he's not Judge Judy and executioner. Very funny.
Well,
And then he
but
says, forget it, Nicholas, it's Sanford.
it's like it's Chinatown.
Hilarious.
Very cute.
And so Nicholas, he essentially gives Nicholas his car and is like, go back to London, do whatever you're gonna do, just stay away from here, we've got it covered. And it's just like, no you don't, but okay. And so Nicholas is on his way back to London, and he's immediately like, you know what, nah, I'm not gonna do that shit. And so he returns back. He p kicks an old lady in the face, because she's shooting him with a gun. And then he takes all of the guns that were confiscated in an earlier case. And nobody notices him going into the safe at all. It's hilarious.
Yeah, he walks in broad daylight. No, just don't even notice that he's even there. These
So
people are
funny.
so all over it, right?
It's hilarious. But I would just like to say the final fight is fantastic. There are like phases to it. There's like finding the grandma and the farmer, there's the city center, there's the pub, the supermarket, the model village. Like, all of it's really, really good. I really enjoy it. And another moral, the more you obsess over perfection, the more things you will have to sacrifice for it, and the more you can lose yourself. I think that's supposed to be another moral of the story, which I agree with. I don't think that, I mean, should I think that everyone strives to be their best? Absolutely. But should that be at the expense of your sanity? No.
Yeah,
Absolutely not.
right.
Or the sake of your health, mental or physical. Like, and no, absolutely not. So, yeah, those are my best parts. What are your pros?
Oh, obviously the cast. I mean, we've already talked about some, there's some amazing things with the cast. I think the writing is really excellent. I think the action, I think it's a well-paced movie. I think there are a lot of subplots that you don't really read as subplots. It seems to be part of a whole that is well woven. You know, it seems to be like a tapestry that really comes together quite well.
Building off of that very, very quickly, I'll let you continue in just one second. Connecting to that, it's, I really like it when you can tell a mystery knew its ending, and so everything is tailoring towards that ending instead of everything just kind of happening like Pretty Little Liars. Like,
Yeah. Liars is not even really a murder mystery. It's just stupid. It's such a teen
It
book.
is a murder mystery, mother,
Right?
and it's not a good one.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a good one. I'm
Yeah.
just saying it is one, and I've seen that, and I know that there are better murder mysteries where they know the ending and everything that is on screen kind of tailors towards that ending. Continue.
So, yeah, there are a lot of things I really, really like about how this is portrayed. Like, you know, I love that Simon Pegg's character is like, you know, Mark Wahlberg in The Departed is like, I'm the guy who does his job. You
You
must
must
be
be the
that
other
other guy.
guy.
I mean, he really is somebody who gets what the mission is. And I disagree with you about some of the things that you're saying, but whatever.
Like what?
Like the things about you make it sound like he is being a fascist,
No, I'm not
essentially.
saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that his idea of punishment is tested when he sees the complete extreme version of it. It's like, whoa, no.
Yeah,
I think they
that's
need to be
different.
punished, but not that much, because
Right.
he is the way when he comes in guns blazing makes it seem like he's the extreme version, but nobody else sees the actual extreme version. I'm saying he's in the right,
Okay. All
but
right.
that I'm not calling him a fascist.
Okay. I really liked some things about how his character in this movie is juxtaposed to Shaun in Shaun of the Dead. So in Shaun of the Dead, he's like oblivious, out of it. Just he is the person who is not picking up on the details. In this, he is hyper aware, and yet it still feels like it's not making a difference until like things come to a head. So you can be on both ends of it, both extremes, and still kind of feel like you're a little bit crazy, like something's just
And
wrong,
lost.
things are off, things are lost. And I think that we as consumers, as people out in the world these days, we still have a lot of those feelings. And these movies were made 2004, 2007. All of these themes are still there. And I really like that that is something that they are hitting like the nail on the head with it. I love too this small town versus big city thing. And I'm putting this in the context of having gone from being a prosecutor in a more urban area to a prosecutor in a more rural area. And truly, the mindset of, well, we don't care about that around here is a very real thing in smaller communities. Some of it is a resource issue, but some of it is like, we just don't consider it a big deal that people are stealing, or that such and such is going on, that we've got like half the village kids drinking in the pub. It's fine. We'd rather have them here doing that than out doing some other bad thing, right?
And
And
that is a mentality people have, but I mean, I think that should be relegated more to the parents than to the pub owners who are going to
Right,
profit off of it.
exactly. And I think that there is that big city versus rural thing. It really is kind of a culture shock to people who live in a more urban area to go into this kind of more rural mindset. And that picks up on some of Bennett turns around and says, really funny. I really enjoy how some of these murders are so ironic. I'm not going to get into all of the
There's
how
a
they
lot
are
of
done.
foreshadowing.
There's a lot of foreshadowing. There's a lot of just very silly
Ironic.
wordplay. Like, and some of it isn't even foreshadowing. Like, there's the reporter who misspells people's names, who ends up dead because he misspelled people's names. We've mentioned that already. Before he dies, there's a raffle going on, and his name comes up, and the priest is doing the raffle, and he's like, "Oh, character, your number is up." And of course, he dies like immediately after. It's very, very funny. But there are a lot of things like that that keep happening. The vignettes, like the Romeo and Juliet thing, super funny. Argus Filch. This man, I'm telling you, this actor,
So good.
he just chews every scene he is in and everything he is in. So you're in a movie with a bunch of fucking funny people, right? You are like, they've all got good writing, whatever, but every time he speaks, so he speaks in such a blurry dialect deliberately in this movie that there's like triple translation. So like he has to be translated by canine guy, who then gets translated by
Danny.
Danny, then and then
And there are occasional times where it's like you can tell what he's
he's
saying, but
like,
they don't translate anyway.
yeah, it's just so, and so
Yeah,
there's like
suppose.
echo,
Yeah, I
echo.
suppose.
Yeah.
Yes, I suppose.
And I mean, it's very, very funny.
So funny.
And just that whole series of things, hilarious. I love, like the comeuppance of these people who are, Timothy Dalton's character, Skinner, who is this pretentious I own the town asshole guy. Every time he goes by one of these crime scenes, he's got the perfect song playing. He's got like
Romeo and
duh,
Juliet and Fire.
and fire and whatever. And it's very, very funny. But he gets his comeuppance in a very
Funny way.
funny and dramatic way. I don't think that I don't want to give away too much because it is a movie you really should see. There's a lot of visual here, but the lines are just so worth it. And they do these over the top things that you don't really pick up on the first time, but like right at the end, there's a big fight. And the Foley artists who are making all the sound, they're clearly just having such a great time
They're
with
making it
making it
so
over the top.
exaggerated. Like someone puts a thumb over someone else's eye and it's making the squishing sound, but you can clearly see it's not.
It's really,
Everything's very
really funny.
exaggerated. Everything's at an 11, and it is a parody of traditional buddy cop movies, which it is very clear about being, but it takes itself seriously enough for you to be invested.
Right. And it has multiple endings too, which again is it's such a buddy cop movie trope. Like, oh, things are gonna be happy now, but no, and there's just a lot of that false ending kind of stuff. It's very funny. I think it's really, really well done. What were your cons for this?
I sometimes get secondhand embarrassment from Danny, but that happens to me all the time. I get a lot of secondhand embarrassment from people.
Including me, I'm sure.
So much. Sad, and myself, to be honest, but that's firsthand.
That's firsthand.
Sad that so many people died for such small infractions. Like, are you fucking serious? You killed those teenagers for drinking in a bar that you guys allowed them to drink in? Like, you're fucking kidding me. No. No one questioning these gruesome deaths. Like, other
Other
than Nicholas,
hero.
but like, even the people living in the village, like, obviously the people who are in on the conspiracy aren't going to, but the people living in the village, and even the police department, who maybe are just used to there being accidents and stuff and not wanting to do paperwork, that's one thing. But the people living in the village and knowing these people, like, what? You're
Yeah,
just going to
why?
accept that? There's no mourning period. There's no anything. Like, nobody cares that these people have died. Like, why?
We're just moving on because we're the perfect village.
Danny's involvement in the conspiracy isn't extremely clear to me
Right.
because obviously, he's not really questioning, and this is brought up in the conversation after he saves Nick, but he's not really questioning what's going on there. He's just like, oh, they're giving me the slap on the wrist and you're on your way. However, you were the one who planted the ketchup in his pocket in the first place and fake stabbed him. So they had the expectation of you stabbing him, and you weren't questioning that at all. You weren't questioning that maybe they've had people killed before. Maybe I'm part of the conspiracy now since I'm fake killing this person, but they think I'm actually killing this person. Like, what? What are you talking about? That was never very clear to me. It doesn't really bother me that much that on this rewatch, I was like, but Danny, you're involved. Like,
He is 100% part of
yeah,
it
the fake out death at the end is kind of cheap, but that's the whole point. It's like a parody. But yeah, that's what I've got.
All right. So, one of the things that it was funny and then it wasn't. So, the reporter misspells Sergeant Angel's name as Sergeant Angle. And everyone makes this giant deal out of it. It keeps going on and on and on. They've like plastered his locker with, angle you cock kind of thing.
Well, no. It's like Officer Angle, and they scratched out Officer and just put cock. So
I
juvenile.
feel it, that kind of petty thing sometimes it is probably the only occasion in this movie where I feel like that joke went on a little too long. But a lot of the jokes are just perfectly edited, just well conceived and not too long, not beaten to death.
I could see that. I as a little bit of a response to that, I think that the purpose of that is when you in a small town in particular, when something like that happens and it is attached to your name, it's going to be brought up
Yeah,
constantly,
and
regardless.
it is. I mean,
So.
it's a minor thing. I've really felt, and you mentioned it, the underdevelopment of Danny's backstory and Danny's character, I feel like really kind of hurts this. We don't get a lot of why he has bought into what's been going on for so long. I mean, yeah, you get the idea he's a little stupid, he's a nepo baby, he doesn't know better, that kind of thing. But you really have to question some of that. And especially since, like, he's a native, some of these other people may have come from other places. You don't get the feeling that they did, but it's possible that they did. He should be more in the know than he is, and it's really just kind of very strange. Some of the villagers who are killed, it's really unclear the reasons why they're killed. I mean, some of them are tied together, but it's not as
Thank you.
clearly developed. Like, the guy with the house that they didn't like,
That
they
was
were kind
because
of,
it wasn't an aesthetically pleasing house.
yeah, but some of it's just a little, we didn't get to see that much of him to begin with, so it's like, anyway, and I got the feeling there were maybe a few too many good ideas that they had to, like, kind of pare down, and sometimes the paring down, it got a little bit too pared down, maybe.
What I particularly love about, and I know we're talking about cons, but what I particularly love about this is often in murder mysteries, we like Nicholas try to come up with this grandiose reason why. We are always looking for the reason why. And sometimes it's just petty shit like this. You had an annoying laugh. I'm going to chop your head off. Like, okay.
You were relentless.
You
Let's
are a
go ahead
bad
and get on.
actor. I'm going to chop your head
You
off.
were a living statue or
We're
something.
gonna chop. It's what I love about this movie, that like it's not a big conspiracy. I mean, it is a conspiracy, but it's not
It's not a conspiracy about anything meaningful.
it's
Let's
not
put it that
meaningful at
way.
all. It's not about land development, it's not about money, it's not about power. It's literally just about this stupid best village competition. It's very
Exactly.
funny. I
Exactly.
love
It's
it
something that
so much.
really means nothing in the scheme of things.
Nothing means anything. It's
So,
so funny.
what did you end up thinking of this movie? Did you give it a grade?
Yeah, I gave it a grade.
Okay.
I think it's an A plus.
Yeah.
I of these three, spoiler alert for the next one, which I still find a lot of enjoyment in, this is probably my favorite of the three. I think the reason why is that in Shaun of the Dead, there are some emotional moments, and I do appreciate them, but it's not a very clear balance of plot to comedy. And a lot of times, obviously, they kind of sacrifice an emotional moment for comedy. And so it, and not that I don't enjoy Shaun of the Dead. Of course, I love Shaun of the Dead. I gave it an A. But for Hot Fuzz, what I love about it is that it's a buddy cop movie first with a lot of comedy I enjoy. And
Yeah.
so it's going for the biggest genre first, and then it's adding their sense of humor. And I really enjoy that. I think that it's a parody. It's a parody of a genre I already enjoy. And like a murder mystery, a small town murder mystery kind of thing, which I already love. And so I've never been like a zombie person, but Shaun of the Dead's great. But yeah, I of the genres, I suppose it's probably the one I'm most familiar with, and also one I like the best, and it's
That's
media
fair.
I already consume. So it's a good version of something I already like. So with some more fun comedy parody bits in it. So what's not to like? If I had to choose one to show to other people for like if I were introducing them to the Cornetto, I would choose this one. Well, I guess it depends on the person, but I think this is a good palate cleanser, kind of like this is in a
This
nutshell
is the
what this
concept.
is. This is the concept. Now, do you want to see some vastly different versions of this in different genres but similar comedy? Go for it.
Right.
Go for the other two as well. But yeah, I really love this movie. I think it's very clever. I think it's well written. I don't it, much like the first movie we talked about, it doesn't waste a joke, and most things are brought back into the fold. I don't know. I really love it.
I have to give it an A plus because I think it is better than Shaun of the Dead, and I gave Shaun of the Dead an A. I do think of the three is best of the three movies.
spoiler, right?
Yeah, spoiler.
But
not that the last one is bad.
But I think your reasoning is sound. You know, I think that buddy cop things, and I don't watch all of them. Like
I've never seen Bad Boys 2 or Point Break or
right,
any
I
of
haven't
that.
Either, and I don't really need to. I mean, I like, find that.
But more like murder mystery British.
We see a lot of detective shows. We've seen a lot of, like, recently came out Department Q, which is excellent, by the way.
It is actually very good. I watched most of it.
Yeah, and Matthew Good can do
Matthew
anything.
Good can do anything.
But, you know, and Black Doves, you haven't seen yet. It's really good. Mm. It's kind of like spy murder mystery.
Oh, wait. Doesn't that have Keira Knightley in it?
Yeah.
I recently watched that interview that I sent to you.
Yeah.
And she mentioned that.
Yeah, it's really good. So they're spy murder, those kinds of things. We tend to watch a lot of those from an action perspective. And these three movies all have action elements to them. So because it is an action genre, and it's well put together. I mean, like you said, there's not wasted jokes. I really feel like every character in this one, and I didn't feel this way as much in Shaun of the Dead. In this movie, like, you've got Rory McCann's character, Michael, who has, like, this whole series of hilarious shit saying yarp. I mean, it is, no one is missing out on their moment.
Yeah, everyone gets to shine.
And it's really
even
well
like
done.
Even like the assistant store manager gets
yes.
her little moment in the sun to be immediately hit in the face by Doris, who gets
moment,
her
yeah.
moment in the sun.
It's so funny.
Like everyone in it gets a moment to themselves, and it really feels like an ensemble instead of just focusing
yeah.
on one tight group. And that is a great point. I think that in Shaun of the Dead, obviously you're focusing on the living people, and that's good. You
yeah.
should.
Yeah.
But
right.
What I love about this is that it, since it is a small town, you can focus on so many people, and you get a little bit of backstory on people. Like, even there are two people who are shooting at them at the end who are just mentioned because they had professional acting work.
Yes.
Compared to Martin Blower, who got Romeo in that stupid, stupid production of Romeo and Juliet that ended up in Loveful being played. No, you didn't want that, babe, but
no.
It's okay. I understand. It's like, not when we have two amateur, like, professional theater people over here, and they are always just waving.
Yeah, it's very funny. But everyone gets a moment, and it's really excellent that they get their moment. So I really felt like this is clearly the best one. It's very, very funny. It's a
yeah.
movie I would definitely recommend. So. Yeah. We have,
I'd recommend this one to anybody.
Yeah. We do have one more to go. And I don't want to discount how excellent this is as an ensemble cast either. There's some great stuff to come.
I will say about this next one, I think it's very funny the way the three different humors that are in this, because I think that the World's End and Shaun of the Dead are more similar than they are to Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
However, The World's End has these moments that make me die. I can't discount that.
No.
I've got to admit,
no.
it's fantastic.
And they take some time in between. So and some of that shows, but some of it's also because they've got such an amazing cast. And again, not wasted. So we are looking forward to sharing with you at World's End. Which is the last
The World's End.
The World's
Not
End.
At World's End. I kept saying At World's End, and we probably will for the actual episode, but
it's
The World's End.
It's
and not
Pirates
of Pirates of the Caribbean At World's End.
It's not Pirates. But in any case, we really, really hope that you join us. And
cheers.